Well, good evening. It's great to be able to gather here as God's people. For those who don't know, my name's Rick, and I think I've turned myself on. Yep, that's it. A company notice board once had the message written on it. It's come to the attention of the management that workers are dying on the job and failing to fall down. This practice must be stopped, as it's impossible to distinguish between the death of a person and the natural movement of the staff. Any employee found dead in an upright position will be dropped from the payroll. Maybe this sort of explains how you feel at work. Or maybe it's one of these pictures. His job, not as boring as yours. Get to work. You aren't being paid to believe in the power of your dreams. This is how I feel when I run away from work on Friday. And teamwork, shared victory, shared defeat. That's my personal favourite. Maybe one of those pictures describe how you see work, or maybe just narrowing down the definition of work, how you see your job. Why do we work? Is it a necessary evil? Is it something that we have to do because we sinned, and we now live in a world full of brokenness and sin and work? What is work? And what difference would being a Christian or a follower of Jesus make to why you work and how you work? Some good questions for us to be thinking through as God's people, and over the next 3 weeks we're going to be doing some thinking as we look at what the Bible says on this topic. It is my prayer that maybe your thinking about work is challenged or transformed or expanded, or maybe just confirmed because you've already done some thinking of it. In God's great sense of humour, the young adults are doing some thinking about this very topic over the next 4 or 5 weeks or something like that. And so you'll get some more thinking through that. So if you're of young adults age, can I encourage you to be someone who actually goes along? Before I pray, remember we have the opportunity to ask questions. Up there is the number that you can text your questions to. If they're really hard questions, I'm going to be away in 2 weeks, 3 weeks' time, so text them then and Dave can answer them. How about I pray? Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the privilege it is to know you. We thank you for the hope that you give us in Jesus. And we thank you for the opportunity it is to look at your word and think through the topic of work. Lord, we pray that your word will transform our thinking or expand it or grow it. Well, most importantly, Lord, we pray that your word will help us to live as your people and to think about our work in a godly way. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Well, you'll need to have your Bible open, so keep it open at page 2. That's not too hard to find. And we want to begin by asking the question of what is work? When I talk about work, what do I mean? For most of us, we assume that once I start talking about work, it's sort of reflected in those photos and the example I gave at the beginning. We think work is what we do when we're getting paid. Now, I want us to expand our thinking. I want to refer to what we do when we get paid as maybe our job, but our work is bigger than that, certainly from the Bible's perspective. Work, according to a dictionary definition I came across, is the exertion or effort that is done to accomplish something. That's pretty broad, isn't it? And actually, what we see is that's probably more a reflection of what the Bible thinks about work than when we narrow it down and just talk about work being the job we do to get paid. So can I encourage you over the next 3 weeks, I've got to keep reminding myself, to talk about work in the broad category, not in the narrow job category. That's really important for us to do. So I work when I do stuff to earn a living. It's a bit more complicated for me because I do ministry. And ministry for you might not be what you get paid, but it's still part of your work. I work when I mow the lawns. No one pays me for that. I work when I do the dishes or tidy the house. Most of the variety of work that I do is actually unpaid. Maybe the greatest quantity of work I do is getting paid, but maybe that's because I'm a workaholic. Well, not really. I work in raising my family. Maybe I do work when I maintain the garden, both here at a working bee and at home. I work when I do stuff around the house and repair all the things that my children have broken. Not that they break anything anymore. I work in volunteering. I work in ministry, which is part of more than just my job, the complicating thing me being the minister here, but I work in serving God in a whole range of things that I don't get paid for. So remember this big, broad category of work, which is more a reflection of what the Bible says than the narrow category of work, which is what we often refer to, my work is what I get paid to do. So with this in mind, what perspective does the Bible give us regarding work? Well, let me take you to the passages we read. You want to see that work is a good thing? Well, the Bible affirms it is. It's something that we're actually designed to do. In Genesis 1 and 2, from the passage we read that God is someone who works. That might not trigger amazement in our thinking, but it should. Maybe it doesn't because we have not thought about what that means. God creates a perfect world, and before sin, there is work to do, both for him and for us. You see, what work is actually part of what God wants us to do in his perfect world. God designed a perfect world to involve us to be working in it. There's work for him to do, and there's work for us to do. Now, I'm under no illusions. We're not living in a perfect world. We actually confessed our own sin as part of the beginning of the service. But see that work is part of God's good and perfect plan. And so that changes the way we think about the work we do, because if you are a normal Australian, you're thinking, how can I earn enough money to retire as early as I can to enjoy the real things about life? That's actually not biblical thinking. I think there's things I've thought about, I'm sure stuff you've thought about, but it's actually not biblical. We think about, we only need to work until we've invented a machine that means that we don't need to work anymore. And then we can sit back and have a life of leisure. That's actually not a biblical agenda for us as God's people. So what sort of work does God do? What sort of work does God intend us to do? The most obvious answer to what does God do, as we read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, is that God does work of creating the world. But God does more than just that. He doesn't just create the world, he provides for the world. Now, we didn't read numerous passages throughout the Old Testament, and maybe the New Testament, certainly in the Psalms, where God talks about providing for people. He sends rain. He provides for people when life goes pear-shaped. We do see some of that providing work in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, where God provides a suitable helper, and blokes, not a slave or someone to do whatever you want, a suitable helper to help with the work of what needs to happen in the garden. We'll get onto that in a moment. We're not going to unpack it in detail, but just note that God is a worker who is involved in creating and providing. That's really important that we understand. And just so you know, that's not just something that happens at the point of creation in Genesis chapter 2. Let me take you to John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus is being questioned by the legalistic Pharisees. Jesus has allowed his disciples to work on the Sabbath. Jesus himself has worked on the Sabbath, and they're not really happy with that. And so Jesus points out to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." God the Father, God the Son are both involved in working. So it's not just God who is the worker in the Garden of Eden. We see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, that God gives humanity a job description. In fact, what you should know is that out of all that God's created, it's only humanity that he gives any job description. We're told to be fruitful and multiply. We don't see much explanation to do that. But we're also told to subdue the earth and under God's rule to rule over the earth that God has made. And that's sort of reinforced again in chapter 2, verse 5, where it talks about the fact that God has not yet done something because there's no man to work the ground or no humanity to work the ground. So God gives us a job description, and part of that job description is to involve subduing the world. What does that mean? Well, we're made in God's image. We're put in a position of rule over God's world that he's made, and we're to rule that world under God. But as we rule that world under God, we're told to subdue the world, which I think means that we're to discover and bring development to. See, the word subdue does not mean exploit and use for your own profit. God has made a perfect world, but that perfect world has not been fully formed or been fully developed. As one person said, God has left the world with untapped potential that could be unlocked through our labour. God has put us in his world to rule over his world, to work in his world. To put it another way, before sin enters the world, God leaves us with a perfect world that we need to discover and develop. Well, what do we make of a biblical perspective of work so far? Remember, this is all before sin enters the world. We see work is a good thing. We see that God the Father works. We see that God the Son works. And we see that God has made us to be people who work. Even in that world that's untainted by human sin, there's not some golden age of leisure in which everyone is sitting back, sunning themselves until sin happens, and then we've got to work. You see, in God's perfect world, there is work. And work is good for us. Now, I know that we don't always feel that. And I know that some of the things that were up there really resonate with us in those pictures. And we refer to our job as something we do in order to get enough money to retire or to eat enough to survive and survive. Now, we're going to unpack a little more next week why there's a difference between the way what God intended and the way we often feel. But what we need to do first is see that if we think biblically, we will see that our work, that broad definition, not just our job, is something that you and I are made to do. We might not be always switched on in our job context, but the reality is that work is a good thing for us. God has made you to work. Now, let me give you a couple of examples that sort of unpack that reality in the world that we live in. I meet people relatively regularly who are either very old or very sick who lament the fact that they cannot work and contribute to what is happening in their world. They don't lament the fact they can't go to a 9-to-5 job, but they lament the fact they can't work. That big, broad definition. People who've been able to work experience huge loss when they no longer can. And another example of how we can see that we're made to be people who work is when you meet adult disabled people, significantly disabled, who are able to get to the point where they can work. And it brings great joy to their hearts. Remember, think about work broader than just the job, but contributing or being part of developing and discovering the world that God has made. Here's three questions for you guys to ponder as you think about this. Now, these are printed in the outline, which is in the newsletter. Here's the questions. Do you see the work that you do, remember, not just your job, as something that is good for your soul? Because the Bible leads us to think that we should. In fact, the Bible's a little clearer than just that. It says we should. Second question, just to be thinking and reflecting through. As you see that the work that you do is something that God has planned for you to do that is good, how does that change your attitude to the work you do? Now, let me give you an insight into what might have influenced your thinking. Our culture, the Greek culture, used to think that the gods, the ultimate form of society, just do whatever they want and never have to work. And so that's sort of the aim for us, to be people who can spend a life of leisure. And that has profoundly influenced the way we often think of work. That work is a bad thing, a sub-God thing, and that we need to get to the point we no longer have to work Very different perspective to a Christian way of thinking, isn't it? Third question to ponder. If subduing the world involves discovering and unlocking and ordering the potential of the world, how does that expand your view of work as being part of God's plan? Let's do some thinking about these those three questions in a way and unpack what are the biblical implications of what we've seen, the biblical perspectives. The first implication is this. When we see that the God of all the universe works and he has created us to be people who work, that gives us huge freedom in the work that we can do. Let me explain what I mean. God doesn't say this level of work is more spiritually exalted and then you gradually move down to you're in the pleb level of work and therefore the goal of life is to do the more spiritually exalted work and move from that up to the top. You could say the Father was a gardener and the Son is a carpenter. Now, Dylan's not here to try and defend the carpenter role, but anyhow, you know him and you know he's not God. He's just my son, not God's. We've seen that God made us to work, but he doesn't restrict the type of work that he wants us to do. Maybe there are a few jobs we can't do. I don't think bank robber really comes under a job description of something that God wants us to do, but that's ruled out because it's not consistent with godly living. Now, that reality that God doesn't see one as more spiritually exalted than the other should actually give us great freedom in choosing what work we do. Now, I don't mean what job or career we have. What work we do is the thing I think we need to see. You can use your gifts and your talents and your passions and your God-given creative skill in whatever work you do, knowing that there's no restriction on it. So let's bring it to a job thinking. If you're an international airlines pilot, not as if that's the pinnacle of life, and you lose your job, you could take up a job as a street sweeper, and God's not going to be fussed. Or, if you take it out of the job side of things, No, we won't do that. That's just another sideline. Let's go back to the professional ministry job versus the normal job. There's been a time in church history where we've sort of tried to say that if you're a professional minister, normally a priest in a church of some particular denomination, then you are an elevated person between people and God, and therefore that's a more exalted job to have. And so if there's anything you can do in life, make sure you become one of those priestly sort of people. Be a professional minister. Now, that sort of thinking is wrong. Let me tell you why it's wrong. It misunderstands salvation. Salvation is given to every one of us as a free gift. It's not given to particular people who do a particular job. I need as much saving as you do, if that's not fairly obvious. You see, when we think that someone is saved by the virtue of the job or more spiritually exalted by virtue of their job, we start to bring a hierarchy to the level of what people need to be saved from or to. That's not biblical. So first of all, it misunderstands salvation. And the second reason why it's wrong is it misunderstands the purpose of work. Society thrives into the next generation through the hard work of loving parents. God provides and cares for people through a whole range of things in the Bible. It talks about people ploughing the land so that God can give them food. It talks about protection when God gives people the skill and the responsibility to fight as soldiers. God uses pastors and teachers to build up the church to prepare God's people for works of service, to live for him. You see, it misunderstands the purpose of our work and also misunderstands the nature of ministry. You see, God honouring ministry happens when any one of God's people serve him in any world that they're working in. How broad that is. Gospel ministry is done by you and by me when we serve God in the world that we work in. Not our job, but the world that we work in. As we're obedient to Him, as we talk about Him, as we love people around us. You see, God uses you and me to minister for the gospel, regardless of our occupation. And the final thing, which is just a little tack on to the end, is God even uses non-Christians to bring about His purpose. He used the Babylonians to bring judgment on the Israelites. He used the Assyrians to bring judgment on the Israelites. And He even uses people who don't know Him. Well, that's the first implication of what we've seen about work. Here's a second implication. God actually created the world that He lives in, that we live in, and when He did so, he envisaged more than just Adam and Eve living in it. He envisaged that one day there'd be more than two or four or whatever. He anticipated that us would be part of the world He created. And so He gives Adam and Eve fields to work. He gives Adam and Eve the responsibility to name animals, not just to keep them busy, but because as they name animals, the next generation benefits from the work that they do. And here's the point. When we work, we thrive and flourish together. Let me explain it. If I had to invent, design, manufacture, and learn to operate everything I've used today, just one day of my life, it would take at least 100 lifetimes to do it. Maybe more. You see, I thrive because others have worked. And they thrive because we've worked. And the point is, we thrive when we work. Our collective work enables us to enjoy the world that God has made. God gained great enjoyment from the world He made. He looked at it and saw that it was very good. He made things that were just pleasing to the eye. Our collective work enables us to enjoy the world that God has made. Remember, that's not always the way it is today, but remember, this is what the way God created it. So work is something that we do as part of society, and it's good for us as society. And I'm not just talking about the job that you do for pay. We as a society thrive when we work as God intended us to. Now, sadly, our society today will value you based on your pay for the work you do. But regardless of whether you're in paid work or unpaid work, we all benefit when we serve God, when we work. So our Christian family, church family, benefits when we work. Our family benefits when we work. The nation benefits when we work. Society, humanity at its broadest level, benefits when we work. The final implication I want to raise is that when we work, we're actually reflecting God's command for us to show love to each other and to Him, or to serve God and the people we work in. So society works, we benefit, but we don't just do it because we benefit ourselves. We want society to benefit because God has given us the command to love others and to love Him. And so when my love for you is reflected in the way I work, when my love for God is reflected in the way I work, when I'm obedient to God's command, I want to give the best work I can because I want to honour you and I want to honour God. Let me unpack what that means. If you're a financial advisor and you know Jesus is your Lord and Saviour, then because you're already called to love others and to obey God, you want to be giving the best financial advice you can. You want to express your love for those that you work for in your job and your obedience. Let's take it out of the job context. We had a working bee here yesterday. And at the working bee, we had the opportunity to tidy up the place. If we love each other, we'll tidy it well so that people can walk safely from their cars into the building without slipping over and breaking their neck. For you, it might not be a problem, but add 80 years to your life and it will be. You see, the way that we work well at our job, sorry, you guys won't get to add 80 years to your life. You'll be coming in on wheels if there's 80 in the next 80 years. Yeah, same here, by the way. That will put me at about 130, and you don't want me around at 130. Whatever your work is, to love each other is to do that work well. Whether it's our paid job or our voluntary work, whether it's in our family or our church or wherever. So what are we seeing? God created us to be people who are made to work, regardless of age, and I'm not promoting child slavery there. God actually wants us to be people who work. And sometimes we've grown up with a very negative attitude towards work, possibly an unbiblical attitude towards work that says the aim of life is to get enough money to be able to have a life of leisure. Either pay someone to do it or invent a machine to do it. That's actually not biblical thinking. Now, I need to tell you that I'm about to head off on holidays for 3 weeks. And God actually gave us a balance between work and rest. You see, it's not that life is all about work. God talks about working six and resting one. Not 50-50, not working one and resting six, but he actually gives us a biblical balance to work. Having a break from work, whatever, and I don't mean your job, I mean having a break from work is actually a good thing for us. And I'm not saying we need to work at our jobs, our paid work, for 6 days a week, because remember, there's plenty more than just our paid work of work to be done. We've seen that God doesn't make one sort of work more spiritual than another, but God enables you to use your gifts and talents and your passions that he's given you to enable us to thrive and flourish as a society. I hope that's a fresh way for you to see the way that you use those gifts and passions that God has given you. We've seen that we express our love for each other and for the society we live in and towards God when we work at our job in the best way we can. Now, those are good foundations for us to know, but my gut feeling is that not all of us have that perspective of work. We don't always feel positive about the work we do. And it seems like whilst God has planned that's not what works out in reality. What's gone wrong? Here's a question that's worthwhile talking about. How can we redeem a good and godly perspective of work? How can you redeem a good and godly perspective of the work you do? Now, we've started that process now. We're going to continue it over the next 2 weeks. We're going to look at how work exposes the sin in us and how work exposes the sin in our world. And we're going to see that whilst work is good for us and part of God's plan, sin has impacted at every level. And we're then going to see the impact the gospel should have on our work. So that lets you know where we're heading. How about I pray? Our lovely, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the work that you've called us to do. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us refocus our thinking about that work. And we ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.